Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue with this great mission from heaven, as established in our time by the Great Mother of God. We refer, of course, to the prophecies and revelations of Our Lady, given to the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. From the years 1970 through 1995, she would be the recipient of over 300 powerful and enlightening messages, which we are dedicated to making known through this radio broadcast. Too often has Our Lady been looked at as some cutesy flower-like figure in the heavens to grace our thoughts and sweeten our affections. And this is not entirely false. She is most gracious and most sweet. But she is all-powerful with the Creator. She is the powerful mediatrix of this universe, through whom the Almighty is showing forth His right arm at this late hour in history. Her mission in these last days is to come forth and crush the head of Lucifer, and she is calling upon faithful and true apostles to assist her in this noble mission. As part of her design, she calls us to her holy grounds at Bayside in New York, where these visitations took place for 25 years, though we'd like to emphasize that the powerful and miraculous intercession of Our Lady at these holy grounds continues to this very day. And in a few minutes, we're going to hear a couple of interviews taken at the holy grounds this past June 11, 2005, wherein you will witness for yourselves the marvelous graces of Our Lady working in the lives of her people. We might see the holy grounds as an oasis, where we come to refresh ourselves and sort of jumpstart our lives again, because we are living in a spiritual desert today that is being scorched by the heat of Satan. And this infernal blast has even come into the church and blown out all the incense and holiness of our spiritual past. We might say that the heavenly dew is being zapped or evaporated from our midst, so that the faithful today are burning up with temptation. They are wandering about with parched tongues, not knowing where to turn for guidance, only because the clergy, too, are being swept away by this infernal current. They, too, are on fire with humanism and modernism and all the various isms of the devil that have come to us through the Second Vatican Council. Our Lady said that Satan entered our church through the Vatican II Council back in the early mid-60s, echoing the famous statement of Pope Paul VI in 1972 when he stated to the world, "From some fissure, the smoke of Satan entered into the temple of God." And this is what accounts for the change of ordinance that has come about in the past 40 years, where silent prayer has given way to talking, sacred chant has given way to strumming, and sacred worship has given way to a new festive liturgy that caters to all the whims and fancies of the people. And there we see the clergy sitting back enjoying the show, as the people stand up and assert their new roles as lay leaders, women ministers, liturgy planners, music ministers, etc., etc. It's like spiritual anarchy or mob rule, where the people have taken the law into their own hands, with the clergy fueling the revolution on. They are the primary culprits in this scandal, because they are instigating the people to rebel against their own religious heritage. So the Bayside message has been a torch of censure that has burnt the pride of our dissident clergy and theologians. If they lash out and rebel against this message, it's because they rebel against the Catholic religion, just as the Pharisees lashed out against Christ. Today's liberal clergy and bishops are modern-day Pharisees. However, they should know that you cannot be modernist liberal and be Catholic at the same time, because Catholicism, by definition, is just that, adherence to sacred apostolic tradition. There is no such thing as liberal Catholic or liberal Catholicism, because the Catholic religion is conservatism in itself. It teaches us to conserve or hold on to all that Christ left us through tradition. And because Bayside epitomizes the Church's tradition, it receives the brunt of this liberalist attack. And like the Pharisees, so it is with today's modernists, that they themselves are guilty of what they accuse our Lord's message of, saying it's illegitimate and not part of the Church. However, they should know that Bayside's legitimacy has been acknowledged by the best of theologians, including the late Father John Harden, who clearly stated that there is nothing in the Bayside message that is contrary to Catholic faith and morals. Anybody would tell you that. That's what the liberals don't like about the message. It might interest you to know that St. Michael's World Apostle recently published a letter showing forth Bayside's legitimate stand with the Church, and this was hand-delivered to the Pope through his undersecretary, as well as through four other reliable Vatican sources. We went to Rome last month and visited all the major congregations of the Vatican, who were also given this letter, and some of the officials were surprised and even a little bit indignant to learn that the Brooklyn Diocese had never conducted a canonical investigation of the Bayside apparitions. They were sympathetic with our concern over this negligence and assured us that they would do their part to try to make these concerns known to the Holy Father. It is true that in 1986, the Bishop of Brooklyn had issued a letter discouraging the Bayside apparitions, but this was not based on any kind of investigation, but was based on Bayside's staunch position on issues like communion in the hand and Eucharistic ministers. Though this wasn't actually mentioned in his statement, it clearly was the reason for it, as it was later revealed to us at our meeting with the Brooklyn Chancellor last year. However, this does not constitute a legal canonical investigation, but constitutes dereliction in duty, which some of the good fathers in Rome are beginning to acknowledge. Bayside's position on communion in the hand only exonerates it, since Pope Paul VI had denounced this practice through an apostolic letter entitled Memoriale Domini that was sent to every bishop of the world in May of 1969, and it was only because of the rebellious bishops of Holland that this practice got started in a church against the orders of Pope Paul VI. It was born of disobedience. And of course, what is said here with regards to communion in the hand is true with virtually all of the changes since the Second Vatican Council. The way we see it, if there is something wrong with Bayside, then let it be determined through a canonical investigation. If the foes of Orthodoxy are so insistent that Bayside is wrong, well then why don't they make it official through an investigation? I would think it should be their duty. In the meantime, the faithful are at full liberty to carry on their belief and promotion of Bayside until that time when the Church steps in through an investigation and judges otherwise. This comes as a result of Pope Paul VI's abrogation of Articles of Canon Law 1399 and 2318 in March of 1966, which now dispenses the faithful from their obligation to wait for the formal approval of the Church before they can be involved with revelations or visions. The Church grants this liberty on the condition that faith and morals not be endangered. There can be nothing against Catholic doctrine in the message. For instance, if an alleged revelation denies or slights some article of faith and says, for example, the Transfiguration has come to us as a legend, or there is salvation through other religions, well then the whole thing is a bogus. But if it says that three-quarters of the human race will soon be annihilated because of its sins, well that doesn't mean it's wrong, that means it's right. The chastisement to mankind is coming, and heaven's objective is not to pacify us and suit our fancy, but to bring us an urgency from the next world and let us know that God the Father is about to intervene upon the world with a great warning and chastisement. Going on human strength alone, Bayside would have been squashed 35 years ago. But the fact that it has thrived so boldly in spite of the worst opposition is in itself proof that God is behind it. Like Fatima, Bayside will be approved, and like St. Bernadette, Veronica too will be raised to the altars of Holy Mother Church. We should also point out that Our Lady some years back had stated to Veronica that had the Bishop of Brooklyn conducted himself with truth and justice and investigated Veronica, she would have been required by God to desist from the work. But because the investigation was not done, she nor we are under any obligation to discontinue the work for heaven. So we continue as we have for 35 years to make this message known to the world. Now, one of the objectives of Our Lady in her message is that we bring back the Latin Tridentine Mass. In the message of July 1, 1985, Veronica says, quote, "Jesus is not pleased with the manner in which his clergy are carrying out their vocations and also the Mass. Jesus wishes that the old Mass be returned to wipe out many of the errors that have crept in since the new Mass has started." On November 22, 1975, Jesus himself tells his priests, "You must return to your traditional rites. You must restore my house from its crumbling exterior and rotting interior. You must rebuild what you seek to destroy now." We might note here that he doesn't say, get permission from your local bishop, or that he wants a Latin Mass said once a month in some hospital chapel, but that he wants it said everywhere in every parish and year-round, and he wants it done now. This has to be the rule for the entire Church, as it has already been established centuries ago. Even Pope Paul in his September 1965 encyclical stated, "It cannot be tolerated that any individual should, on his own authority, modify the formulas used by the Council of Trent to propose the Eucharistic doctrine of belief." Very clearly, he says that we have to stick to the Mass of the Council of Trent. And so we certainly commend any efforts to keep the traditional Latin Mass alive in our midst, though we should be on our guard not to see this as an escape or a catacomb. Proper use of the old Mass is to see it as a pit stop to charge our batteries and spur us on our mission to save the Church. But to see it as a hideout promotes a timid, underground mentality which is entirely out of character with the Church militant. If our Lord today is being bashed and betrayed in his own Church, then we should be there to make reparation as any true, dedicated Catholic would. The martyrs and saints would certainly jump for the occasion. Our Lady at La Salette said, "Go reveal yourselves, fight, children of light, you few who are not misled, for this is the time of times." the end of all times. Of course, she's speaking to us today. She says, go out and fight. She didn't say, go into hiding. But some will avoid their parishes with the reasoning or excuse that the Mass today is no longer valid. However, when Christ went into the temple and threw out the wrongdoers, he did not declare his Father's house to be invalid, but he defended it. So why shouldn't we? The argument that the Mass is invalid is not a valid one. If a man gets beat up, full of blood, but his heart is still beating, well, it's not because he was beat up, but it's because of the life that is still in him. So too, if our Lord today is getting beat up in his house, but his heart is still beating, that is to say, the sacrament is still valid, well, it's not because we've abused him with all these changes, but it's because of his own invincible life from within, and the fulfillment of his promise, I am with you all the days, even until the consummation of the world. So that we understand, the reforms of Vatican II in themselves cannot produce any grace or sacrament. The validity of the Mass today is not due to any of the reforms, but is due to the element of tradition that still remains. In every sacramental rite, there is the essential part that actually confers the grace. For example, this is my body, or I absolve you, or I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. These essentials are still present today, though they be adulterated or mutilated, vernacularized or whatever. Naturally, our part as true repairers is to do our part right, and to try to get the Latin Mass going again, though it should be done in such a way where Catholics everywhere are given access to this grace. It has to edify the entire church. We can't treat it as our own little underground community where we run away from our persecutors. In that sense, the Latin Masses can actually serve as pockets of temptation to draw us out of our parishes. So we must make sure that that's not our reason for going. The reason we go should be the same reason we go to Bayside, to get that shot in the arm and bolster our faith and have a refuge from sin and worldly distraction, yes, but all to the end that we're more bolstered and ready to fight the battle in the main arena, which is the main body of the church. And this, in fact, is heaven's reasoning for asking us to stay in our parishes. It's like a fireman sent to a fire. It's not because he's going to become part of the fire, but it's because he's going to put it out. He's there to fight it. So Our Lady wants us to stay in our parishes for the purpose of fighting these infernal changes and reforms. She does not want us blending with the liturgy or any of the new socialist modes, but rather she wants us to use even exaggeration to stand apart from the new church. For example, if they stand for communion, you kneel. If they take communion from the minister, you receive from the priest. If they talk in church, you practice silence. But Our Lady also asks that we approach the people in our church with her message and that we speak up against any abuses. On November 20th, 1979, Our Lady said, I ask you not to abandon my son's church in the crisis of faith. I ask you not to remain silent when you meet with wrongdoing, but to speak out and act to correct a situation that is offensive to your God and destructive to your soul. This is St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you this urgent message of Jesus and Mary, as given to the celebrated seer Veronica the Cross. We would invite you to write for the free information. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or you can call our toll-free line 1-800-345-MARY. There is no cost to receive the information, but again, we do remind you that your financial assistance is necessary to keep this program on the air. So if you'd like to see this message continue each week over this station, then send along your gift offerings today made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And again, we do remind you that your contributions are tax deductible. You can also visit us at www.smwa.org. Back in October 2004, we interviewed a woman who had visited the Holy Grounds for the first time, and she relayed how she watched her rosary links turn to gold right before her eyes. And she also stated that during the vigil, the statue of Our Lady had a supernatural blue aura around it. But little did she know that there were additional graces for her in the immediate days ahead. She was at the grounds again this past June 11th, 2005, where she was able to relate to us the conclusion of her miraculous story.
Okay, we have standing by here, Margo Matron, and you are from?
From Massachusetts, Millville, Massachusetts.
You had this disorder of your blood. This was a consistent problem you had from 2001 until the time you went to the Holy Grounds. And what year was that again?
That was in October of 2004. It was diagnosed, my condition, in 2002. It's a form of anemia. And what happens is your cells don't produce properly. So the volume is low, and that makes you have a lot of fatigue, be really weak, and you get sick more easily because your body isn't keeping the blood cells healthy. So I would have to get iron infusion, which means that I would have to have iron intravenously put into my body through the bloodstream because my body wouldn't absorb it any other way. After I came here in October, what happened was I would go see my hematologist. First it was weekly, then it became monthly. And when I went to see him after visiting the grounds at Bayside in October, I went to him in November, and my blood work came back normal. The cell volume was in the number that the range it should be in and has consistently been there.
So for those 3 years, you had to do this artificially through these ion infusions. But since you came here to Bayside, the Mother of God has done this for you in a direct, miraculous way. You acknowledge this?
Yes, I do. And it's amazing. And it's a wonderful gift. And I feel so blessed. And it's just been a fabulous, unbelievable experience, and I am very gifted.
It seems too that seeing a blue aura around Our Lady would indicate blue is a would indicate peace, that this has brought a spiritual peace to your life too.
Oh, it changed me so much because I teach CCD, and sadly today the children don't have God in their life, and a lot of their parents believe send them to CCD and that's their responsibility, and they're fulfilling their responsibility as Catholics. Unfortunately, they're very misunderstood. They have a huge misunderstanding. And what I did this year teaching CCD after I came here, I not only taught them the rosary, made sure I gave them rosaries, had them enrolled in the brown scapula, and I had 11 students. And at the end of the year, when I asked them what was the best thing about CCD, they all wrote on a piece of paper, receiving the rosary and the brown scapula. And they all were wearing it. And they all want to have me again next year. And my son is so thrilled that he's telling, you know, tells everyone, my 10-year-old, how great CCD is. And he has all these little friends that want to come now. And I've even had influence on some families going back to church.
I can see why Our Lady wanted you here, because she wants to use you to reach these children and these good souls with the pure waters of holy tradition. And so this has rekindled your regard for tradition, and heaven can use you now to bring this tradition of our faith to these souls.
It really makes a difference. And, you know, when I teach CCD, I said to my mom many times, I've read all the directives she sent to me, I have read. And it all came back to me, what I read from the directives. And I know that the Holy Spirit speaks through me to these children, and that because the Holy Spirit is speaking through me to them, they love being there. And that is just the biggest blessing I can receive, you know, to have that. It's very, very spiritual for myself.
Well, may Our Lady continue to use you to reach these people and maybe many, many more people. Our Lady is very desperate to get apostles to assist her in these last days to reach the people of the world with this message. Our Lady in the message has said, there's no greater love that you could practice than to bring the knowledge of God to your fellow man. And this really is true.
Oh, I really, truly agree with you. And it's most definitely a gift when you can talk to people and see that they are listening. All of a sudden, you see changes. And I've had two families that have stayed away from the church for many years ask me if they could come to my church, you know, to the church that I go to, and come back to church. And their little boys both want to come to my CCD class. So it's through my gift, my son, the 10-year-old's gift, you know, giving this to them. It's really fulfilling.
Well, you're being used as an ambassador for the cause. And may you continue.
Thank you so much. And have a wonderful evening. God bless you.
Thank you. You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we have your standing by, Dennis Luer from Senegal, West Africa. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say I was really very, very, very touched for my first time in this ground. And I really feel that the Holy Spirit is right here and the presence of the Virgin Mary.
How did you first come in contact with this mission of the Virgin Mary here in America?
Well, I was just walking by the St. Patrick Cathedral in Fifth Avenue, and somebody gave me a petal, and since that I get in touch. That's why I'm here tonight.
Dennis is referring to the blessed rose petals of Bayside. Our Lady and our Lord have asked that roses be brought to the holy grounds, and that the petals from these roses be distributed to the ill and the infirm and to the general populace, because attached to the petals of these roses is the powerful graces of cure and conversion. And so obviously Dennis has been touched by this grace, and this has led you to the grounds here this evening, no?
Yes, and I think the petal also have a powerful touch of protection, because since I got it, I feel like I have something more than I have.
You feel that you're being guarded by heaven, you're being protected or guarded.
Exactly.
Do you consider that perhaps that maybe the reason you actually moved to the United States, you think that when all is said and done, maybe heaven brought you here so that you could come to this place?
I think so, and I think I feel I have a lot to do for my country through this mission of Order of St. Michael. I don't know how, I don't know what exactly right now, but I just feel it.
It seems clear that heaven has a plan to use you to bring this beautiful and soul-saving message to your people, West Africa there. And so definitely there might be a mission for you here. Any other comment?
Yes, I just would like to invite the youth, the young people, because we youth, we young, we need to be closer to the Virgin Mary for a better world.
Absolutely. Religion isn't just for old people and old ladies. It's for everybody, young, old, middle-aged, white, black, yellow. And we have often said in our promotions that this message from Our Lady is extended to all peoples, regardless of race, color, or creed. It doesn't matter who you are. Our Lady is very earnest, very desperate at this point in history to reach every person on earth with this soul-saving message, because very shortly thereupon, we are going to witness the wrath of God upon the world. God is a loving God. He is not a punishing God. However, His patience is being tried to the limit, Our Lady says. And so we are being given this chance now to pray, to do the rosary, to hold off the wrath of God, and also to bring this message to as many people as we can while we have the time. Our Lady has said it's the greatest act of mercy we can do for our fellow man, that to bring the knowledge of God to your fellow man. And I believe that you are going to be a very worthy instrument in doing this. And do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share along these lines?
Just to invite all people from all around the world to just come here and feel what I feel tonight.
So you truly believe that the Virgin Mary and her Divine Son appeared here with these messages?
For me, true, yes.
Dennis, we want to thank you for your testimony. I think this is another rose that's been harvested for heaven. And we pray that your faith will continue to bloom in the days ahead.
Thank you so much. God bless everybody.
God bless you, Dennis.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and I think that is a nice testament to the graces flowing at these holy grounds. We mentioned before how Margot's rosary had turned to gold. She had actually watched it turn to gold last October 2004. But I think we should point out that in some cases, people have taken these changed rosary links to their jewelers, and the jewelers have verified the substance as gold, pure gold. So this is quite incredible that rosaries turn to gold at Bayside. However, I think this is only symbolism, because really, what takes place at Bayside is that people's spirituality turns to gold. It's a pretty golden place to be. We would invite you to write for the free information. Again, you can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That website again, www.smwa.org.